9 minutes past 9 o'clock, and Gavin Sharp is with me back with the Riviera Wellbeing Window on Riviera Radio. We're talking about the good life, so come on, Gavin. You mentioned basically what we're going to be talking about over the last hour. Let's cut to the chase and tell us the secret to the good life.
Oh, good morning. That's no pressure on me. The secret to the good life. Well, this is it. It's waking up every morning with Sarah Lysert and... Actually, I should rephrase that. That doesn't sound so
good.
Hold on,
I just finished signing the check here. Hold on, there you go.
Yes, we're talking about the good life and what makes a good life. And, of course, it's an open question. It's what we're going to be talking about at our event on October the 15th at the Monte Carlo Bay. And, you know, as I said just before the break, when we're talking about what is a good life. And, you know, one of the founders of psychotherapy, Carl Jung, and one of the things he said that for us human beings, one of the greatest tragedies, the things that will haunt us most, is the unlived life. So how can we make it count? And, you know, we're all on the same journey and we're all trying to work it out. And I'll just mention one brief study. I mean, we're going to come at this from so many different angles, both today and during the event. Gallup did a global study across about, I don't know, 200 countries, and they came up with 5 components that were the universally what most human beings need to have a good life. And all of these need to be aligned. So number one is career. We need to do something which we enjoy, which has meaning to us, and to the world. 2, it's about social connections. As human beings, we are wired to connect. So if we don't have good quality relationships, could be friendships, could be in our love life, that will impact our well-being. 3, financial well-being. This idea of abundance rather than living in fear of scarcity. And we'll come back to all these different components, I'm sure. 4 is physical. Are we physically well in terms of our physical health? And then finally, our community. Are we engaged in our local communities? And according to Gallup, we need these 5 things to be in sync. And the research showed 66% of us do well in at least one category, but only 7% of us are thriving in all 5. So we need all 5 aspects of those well-being arenas to be aligned. So that's just one explanation, one piece of research about what constitutes a good life.
Well, Ines has written in, it's not really a question, I think she just is kind of confirming what you've just said there. She says that to feel happy in life when an adult depends on good health or getting mm-hmm. help to maintain it, plus having social contacts or family to reach out if you're lonely. Money helps too, she adds, to be able to attain a good standard of life. So that's kind of what along the same lines as what you're saying, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we tend to do is we confuse happiness with well-being. And so I might feel happy today or I might feel unhappy, but that's not necessarily the same as my well-being. And I think as human beings, we are wired to seek pleasure. We go out seeking happiness. And I think for all of us, I include myself in this, sometimes we're seeking the wrong stuff. I'm seeking stuff, for example, it could be money or maybe it's sex, but I'm focusing on just one aspect because I think it's going to bring me happiness and actually I'm missing the bigger picture.
So in doing that, do you think we confuse maybe the good life with, like you're just saying, material things like designer clothes or having the latest iPhone or a new car? Where does that fit in?
Yes, I think we do. I think we've become dopamine zombies. I mean, there's a really interesting book that came out recently called Dopamine Nation by Anna Lemke. And dopamine is the chemical that gets released. We often call it the pleasure chemical. It's the stuff that makes us feel good. I remember that this meal is good. The dopamine gets released into my body. Some things give us lots of dopamine, like material things will give us novelty, my iPhone, pornography. These are all things that give us big dopamine hits. So we're lazy and we go for the things that give us the dopamine hits. And one of the things that Anna says is that we have transformed the world from a place of scarcity to a place of overwhelming abundance, that we've become addicted to overconsumption. And again, when you look at the research, the richer countries are the ones that have the higher rates of anxiety in comparison to the poorer ones. So in other words, certainly in the West, we've never had more material wealth and we've never been unhappier.
Okay, well, I have a question here from a listener saying, hi, Sarah, would Gavin say that the good life comes from being generous, or do we need to prioritise ourselves?
That's a good question, and I would say it's about both. Again, if you look at the research about, I mean, this is more about happiness, but there's a whole school of psychology which is called positive psychology, and they study happiness. No great surprise there. And they say actually there are three aspects to our life. And one is the pleasant life. So have my basic needs been met? Have I got a roof over my head? Do I have safety, security? And if I've got those things, I'll live a pleasant life. And they then call the next two stages the good life and the meaningful life. And the second one is that if I've discovered my own strengths and virtues, and I've applied those to the job I want, to my relationships, I'm living a true life. That's the good life. And the final part to the listener's question, they call that the meaningful life, that I then use those strengths and virtues for the benefit of others. And when I do that, my life becomes more meaningful. And again, lots of research shows if you give someone a sum of money, and you say you've got a choice, you can spend it on yourself or you can spend it on someone else. Now, we sit there and think, well, it's obvious, I'll spend it on myself and I'll enjoy it. And yet the research shows that people who went and bought something for someone else got more happiness from that sum of money.
Right, than the actual. It's a bit like when you can sometimes see, obviously, if you play the lottery from time to time like I do, you dream about winning that certain amount just to have maybe what you would consider not that worry for your bills and things like that. But then you see people who have won sums of money and they haven't done necessarily what they want with it. Or
yeah, which goes to the question, and we'll come back to the quiz. But absolutely, at what point does having a certain sum of money no longer make me happy?
Mm.
So if you win the lottery, the answer is you give it to me, Sarah, because
but you see,
you make me happy.
I've always been my happiest when I'm skinned. I think that's not right, is it?
Note to management team at Riviera Radio.
Paul, ignore
Sarah
that.
Sarah is so happy to work for nothing.
Didn't say that. No, I think maybe more in if you connect it with love and a relationship, yeah. And if you have that, then it doesn't. I would think maybe it overrides money when you're in a loving relationship.
I think that's right. And it goes back to the beginning part, which is I need everything to be aligned at the same time for me to feel happy. And actually, when you ask people at work, do you think you're well paid? The people who are happy at their job typically answer yes. And the people who are unhappy because they're not in the right job will say, no, I feel underpaid. So again, the overemphasis as a society that we place on wealth accumulation is really fascinating, because it's like we can't stop ourselves, and yet intellectually we know this doesn't hit the spot, because again, sorry to keep talking about the research, but Harvard had done research. I think it's because I'm talking about such an esoteric topic, I like to try and back it up rather than it being a bit kind of psychobabbly. And they've done research that shows we get more satisfaction when we spend money on experiences and memories than we do on material possessions. And the satisfaction from the material possession wears off, but the memory I carry for the rest of my life. So again, when you sit back and think about it, no great surprise. And yet we're all trying to be in this wealth accumulation rat race, thinking that new handbag, that new suit, that new car is going to hit the spot. And it does for a bit, and then it doesn't.
Yeah, it's not long lasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what would you say to when you, like you mentioned about going for a job, and well, you know, if you're looking for a certain, if you're happy in your job, do you think maybe we're driven to choose a job that we think is right, the financial rewarding is right, as what it should be, rather than maybe the enjoyment of the actual job?
I think, yes, I think so, and I think very few of us are lucky enough to do something that both I love doing and I'm good at it, mm-hmm. and it contributes to society. And that often is the key to career well-being. And I think, you know, what did my parents say to me growing up? They said, at that point, I think I wanted to be an actor of all things. And my parents said, that's a great idea. Go and get your university education, qualify as a lawyer. When you've then done that, you can be something silly that probably won't own you any money. Mm. And that's what I did. So I've ended up on the radio. Because what they're doing is giving advice that's really sensible, because there's a practicality to this. We want our kids to be able to put food on the table and have a roof over their head. But we're so driven to do something that pays well rather than something which this connects me to myself. It connects me to the bigger world.
But that's not right. Surely that then you're never going to have a good life.
Well, I think that the good life, if we say that we take money out the equation and say money only plays a part up to a certain point, which takes us maybe to our quiz, because once we stop earning a certain sum of money in terms of our salary, our happiness plateaus. So we know that happiness rises with our salary. We know that in poorer countries, people need income for medical care. But in the West, we also know that after a certain point, we no longer start to feel incrementally happier in proportion to our salary.
Okay. Right. We've got a flood of questions that have just come in, so we better move on quickly. Bonjour, Sarah. Some questions to Gavin about having a good life. Surely happiness is out of our control. What about genetics? What about people who are depressed?
I think genetics absolutely plays a part. It's interesting that we're talking about happiness rather than well-being. Yes, I think there are three pieces, if you like, to the happiness pie. We've got genetics, and we don't really know. When you look at something like depression, it's really hard to have accurate scientific research, but possibly about 40 to 50% of people who experience depression, it's genetic. So genes are going to make a difference. My environment is going to make a difference. You know, if I'm one of the deeply unfortunate people to be living through the war zone that's going on at the moment in Ukraine, that's going to have an impact on my happiness. But then there's the third part, which is the part that we can control, which are my actions, my thoughts, my choice to exercise, my choice to eat well. So yes, genetics plays a part, but there is a huge part that we can control, and that's the part that filters into well-being and happiness.
So you think that can? But like you said, you mentioned, you know, things happening in the world right now, and how you... Do you think there's also an element of going back to being grateful for what you have, and that maybe we don't wake up every day and say, actually, I'm just grateful to be alive, which is what we should be doing, and then our happiness would surely start on a higher level?
Yes, I think gratitude, I think... When we do things like gratitude journals, which can be, you know, 5 minutes of bullet points, doesn't have to be this sort of long, novel. But when we step back and we look at the world around us, we experience more joy. That will then lead to us feeling happier. And work I do with addicts in recovery. So suddenly they've given up the dopamine stuff that they were doing, drink or drugs or sex, whatever it is. And then one of the things that they have is this spiritual awakening. And it's so heartening that you work with someone who said, do you know what I did this morning? I walked the dog, I watched the sunrise, and I felt so good to be alive. Mm. That suddenly their brain is rewiring, and their dopamine rush is coming from a sunrise rather than cocaine. And it's wonderful because we're getting in touch with ourselves, with nature, and that plays a huge part.
Well, like if you think good thoughts and good things happen.
If we can, positive thinking, certainly, there's a place for positive thinking. Mm. And I know you and I've discussed this before. I need to get the balance right between the fact that I won't always be happy and I need to be able to sit with discomfort. I need to be able to meet my pain with self-compassion, because I can have a state of well-being, but I might not always be happy.
Okay, we'll have one more question before we have a break for the new sport and weather. Morning, Gavin and Sarah. A first time writing in, but I listen to the show often. If someone is very motivated by money and just wants more, how do you overcome that? It's tiring being with someone who is never satisfied and always wants the best car or the best watch or each new thing. I hope the answer to the quiz is not €1 billion to be happy.
It's interesting because we are going to talk about on the event on October the 15th. One of the topics we're going to talk about is money. And I think this whole aspect of what is financial happiness, is it connected to the amount of money we have? Yes, it's very hard living with someone who is focused on wealth accumulation. And one of the things that we do when we look at financial well-being is helping someone understand, and we're going to do this on October the 15th, and everyone who attends will identify their money script. All of us grow up with a script about whether we think money is good, bad, evil. I want to be like Bill Gates or Mother Teresa. We all end up with this this sense of what money means to us, and that drives us, and all of our unconscious beliefs drives us. So yes, it's very hard. Someone who has, in this case, associates their net worth with their self-worth with their net worth. So have them buy a ticket, come to the Wellbeing Day, and by the end of the day, they will have a better sense of their relationship with money and how it's driving them. Because deep down, most people who have this wealth accumulation money script are actually not happy, because it never hits the spot. I've bought the new car, but then my neighbor's got the even newer version, or 6 months later. So the seeking of money, it's very difficult for the person doing it because they're not happy. And living with someone is really hard because they've lost sense with themselves and often their relationships.
Yeah, could that come maybe from the education as a child? It must be like an ongoing, if each generation is obviously, you know, putting out there what their idea of happiness is, it's never going to change. If it goes from generation to generation expecting you to have a nice car, whether it's your parents that maybe expect mm-hmm. you to do that, or like you said earlier on about your experience, maybe not doing the acting because your parents wanted you to have something secure so you would get that financial backing. Do you think that's something that comes from your childhood, that can come from your education?
100%. It comes from all the stuff around us, including the messages from our parents and the experience we've had. So I work with someone in Monaco who is in that billionaire category. And when we actually explore kind of, well, what's this about? Because, I mean, you've got enough money to, and several times over. When this person grew up, they grew up poor. They watched their father become redundant and not work again for several years. So depression in the household. And one of the things they told themselves was, I will never allow myself to be in this position again. So something that happened very early on has made this person pursue this obsession with money. And yet there they are, sat in the therapy room, deeply unsatisfied with their life.
Mm. Okay, Gavin Sharp, Riviera Wellbeing. We're talking about the good life. It is out there somewhere. A new sport and weather. We'll be back after that. The Four English Breakfast. Riviera Radio. 20 to 10, it's a Riviera Wellbeing window. I'm joined by Gavin Sharp from the Riviera Wellbeing. And Gavin, we've got quite a few questions to get through in about 10 minutes. So moving on with one that I wanted to mention just before we went into the news, because I don't know whether we talked enough about it earlier on, but tell us about the Good Life event on October the 15th and why you're holding this event and what can people expect? Can you hear me?
Okay. It was the lack of air conditioning. So why are we doing the Good Life event? I think COVID and 2020 was a watershed year for all of us. And we all experienced it in different ways. And I think the way now we are engaging with our well-being, our reflections on what we want from life, I think is changing. And, you know, wellness for many people before was a hot bath and candles. And then suddenly 2020 comes along and wellness is about survival. So I think we're redefining what makes us happy. So I think this is a really good time to have a dialogue and to talk about how can we be happy? What is the good life and what is well-being? So that's why we're doing the event. I will talk briefly about the sponsors in a second. What can they expect? Well, they can expect to meet you, Sarah, because I think you're hopefully coming along. I'm there. So they can expect a nice lunch at the Monte Carlo Bay. But what I want to do is give people with my co-host, Dufflin Lammers, who's a wonderful therapist who's coming in from Paris. We're going to give people tools that they can take away at the end of the day. Every person who comes is going to get their own well-being kit. This is what Dufflin and I have put together as to what we think, based on hours and hours and hours of talking to people, what we think is a good life and what's well-being. We're going to give people tools to understand their relationships, understand their money scripts, talk a bit about what's an addictive personality, this dopamine zombie I'm talking about. So we're going to pack the day in. We're going to have lots of fun. We might have a surprise guest. But that's roughly what the day is about. And if people want to come to the day, we only have a limited amount of tickets. But if you come to the Riviera Wellbeing website, you can see the hotline to buy tickets. And tickets are on sale from today.
And you're also giving away a pair of tickets this morning.
I am indeed.
And the question being, at what point, from which point, does money not make any difference to your happiness? So you gave the, we gave the question earlier on in the show. It was A, is it 60,000 euros? B, 500,000 euros? Or C, 1 billion euros? So if you'd like to win a pair of tickets to attend the event on the 15th of October, studio at rivieradio.mc, if you think you know the correct answer. And in reference to that, hi, Gavin and Sarah, I'd say I'd like to believe the lower amount of 60,000 euros was the correct answer. However, I'd like Gavin to say who funded the research. Often research is funded to get the answer thereafter, to disseminate a happier society if we all accept our lot at 60K. So what's the answer to that?
There's a lady called Liz Truss, and she has... No, I'm kidding. There's actually multiple research that broadly comes up with the same answer. The one I'm referring to, it was done in 2010, and it's by Princeton University. So this is their particular study.
Right, hope that answers the question. Moving on, hi, Gavin, Sarah. I love the five things description about the elements for a good life. That's what you read out at the beginning of the show. I think I only started to feel happy when I allowed myself to be more free. I had to leave my relationship and make changes, but I knew it wasn't my life anymore. I needed to live life and not go through the motion. Too much wasted time, but I see many of my friends who don't have the courage to make those changes and stay in unhappy but wealthy marriages, etc. I hope they're listening.
I think this is a great reflection, because the subheading to the good life was to come and discover your authentic self. And I think that, you know, there's a phrase that when I use this phrase and I ask people just to say it to themselves, and what does it feel like? I'm always curious. And the phrase is, I am enough. And I'm astounded by how many of us don't, we go through life not thinking, believing that we are enough. And I think the moment we start to be true to ourselves, you know, it's a, Brené Brown, as I've mentioned her before in this show, is a Canadian researcher. She's done a lot of work about vulnerability and authenticity. And she talks about actually, it's a choice. It's a choice to be ourselves, to show up every day and let my true self be seen. And it's not easy, because well-being and happiness is, it's, we have to do something. It's a doing. It's not a being. It's why I said, you know, happiness is circumstantial and well-being is something that we work at. And so I love that, that she took time to reflect on who she was, what she wanted, or he wanted, I don't know if it was a he or she, wanted from life. And there's that quote, and I can't remember now who it's by, to be nobody but yourself in a world which is trying to make you someone else is such a struggle. And that, to me, how can we live the best version of ourselves? That's the key, or one of the keys to the good life. I want to be authentic and true to myself.
Well, that was Gloria Gaynor, who turns 79 today. That was her birthday quote. She said, we all know that self-esteem comes from what you think of you and not what other people think of you.
Love it. Great quote.
Okay, moving on. Great points, Gavin, as usual. I also think our sense of security is important. Look how scared we all got through the pandemic.
Yes, I agree. So I'm not sure how that person defines sense of security, because I think we get security from having enough money. We get security from our love relationships. But yes, we need to feel grounded and secure in ourselves and in those key aspects that I touched upon.
It doesn't last very long, though, does it, the human, to do that? I found that during the pandemic, you know, obviously you then did start to maybe value things differently and prioritize things differently. And for a moment, there was a real sense of togetherness. But I think we very quickly got back on the wheel, and me, myself and I, no?
I completely agree. And that's why I said, I think it's about doing. I think it's about, this is something that we have to work at. You know, we work at our relationships. And I think that's why I think we're redefining wellness. So when I look at the Den, I do want to mention some of the sponsors, because along with Riviera Radio, they've really bought into this idea about, let's have a dialogue in the French Riviera and Monaco about well-being. So what did we learn from the pandemic? You know, one of the sponsors is Metabolic Balance. And what did we learn? We learned that people who had poor metabolic balance, who had led stressful lives and who were overweight and obese, they were more at risk to COVID-19. So really excited that they're part of this. Also partnering with Blevins Franks, who, you know, we hear them a lot on here on Riviera Radio, because actually we do much of the same work. They want their clients to have financial peace of mind. You know, one of the things that Blevins Franks believes in is looking at not just the person in isolation, but all aspects of their finances to come up with well-being. So we share a philosophy. And the last two sponsors, I'm working with one of the preeminent clinics in the world called Clinique Les Alpes. And they're a rehab center. And what they do is they work on not just people who are experiencing addiction with drink and drugs, but people who are experiencing burnout, anxiety, depression. I spoke to the owner of the clinic and she said, we have never been so busy, because I think we're re-evaluating our lives. And then the final sponsor, working with, again, we hear them a lot on the radio, Savills, who the local property experts with a global reach, they have bought into this concept of well-being. Check out their recent blog that they just posted on well-being at home. How do we create a sense of peace and stability in our own homes? So I'm really excited that we're going to be talking about all these different aspects: love, money, sex, the good life.
Okay, final question. Well, maybe just pointing something out, a nice story here. It took me a heart attack to wake up and realise what I valued and that I needed to change jobs. I make less money and yet I'm more happy. What can people do to make steps towards having a happier life without risking their lives to realise that?
Oh, that's a huge question. I'm just going to go back, maybe to repeat what I said, which is being able to work out what matters to us. I said at the beginning of the show, the Carl Jung quote, that what haunts us most is the unlived life. You know, we are meaning-seeking creatures. We need our lives to count and to have meaning. So I think it's reflecting for each of us, what is it in each of my those areas I touched on at the start of the show that's going to give me meaning? And his other quote, Carl Jung, was, which I love, you know, life is a short pause between birth and death. So we have this really short pause. How do we make it work? How do we create meaning? And sometimes it does take an external event like a heart attack, like a relationship ending, and suddenly we realize, actually, why have I been spending my life in fear? Why have I been hiding myself? Why am I so scared that if I was to reveal my innermost self, you would abandon me? And we have those life-changing events and we think, ah, sod it, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be vulnerable because I'm worth it. I'm worthy of love and belonging because all of us are.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing. And if you want a good life, then go to the Good Life Extravaganza in collaboration with Riviera Radio and plenty of other, as you mentioned, great people behind it as well, sponsors for the event on the Saturday, the 15th of October at the Monte Carlo Bay Hotel. Gavin, what should people do? They can go online now and get a ticket?
Absolutely. Ticket sales have started this morning. So they go online. There is a phone number. Just need a credit card. And then you will receive your ticket. We have to do first come, first serve basis. Absolutely, we'd love to see you there. And hopefully it's going to be a great event. Are we giving our tickets on air or am I going to email? What are we doing with our quiz?
I think we have to give the answer now.
We'll give the answer.
Tell us the answer. Okay. And then you'll get in touch with the first one that came up with the right answer.
I will do so. I will get in touch with the winner. So this was Who's Happier? Is it Jeff Bezos or Sarah Lysert? And actually, Sarah, you'd be surprised to hear this, but you are going to be, according to the research, much happier than Jeff Bezos because it plateaus out at €60,000.
So I haven't even got €60,000.
Oh, come on. Just your outfit's worth about €20,000. You should see what she's wearing today. It's designer from head to toe. So that was the research. I think in dollars it was about $75,000. And then most of the studies in the same arena, it's somewhere between actually $50,000 and $75,000. So Hank Potts is wrong. It's not a billion. It's $60,000.
Is that in your current account? £60,000. Because I have got about €1.50 in my current account.
Don't believe her.
My daughter's going to university. Small children, small
problems. Well, she's got nowhere to stay by the sound of it, but she's going to university.
No, Hank Potts came up with it. He's going to pay for that, I reckon. Oh, Gavin Sharp, lovely to see you as always.
Thank you.
What have you got in store for us next time?
I think next time I want to talk about emotional well-being because it's such an important component to all of this, and it will be a nice lead-in to the day, which will be a week after the next show in October.
Okay, Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing. Thank you.
Thank you.